The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue on this morning. First, we'll finish up Genesis 44, 33 through 34. Last few notes there. Then had chapter 45, verses 1 through 4 at hand. All right, before we begin the study of God's Word, once again, as is the custom of this local church, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that you're in the proper state of spirituality in order to perceive and understand the truth of Bible doctrine as so designed. That demands that we deal with any personal sin in our life, and they deal with it through the rebound technique, 1 John 1:9, whereas in our prayer confession, God forgives us of our sins, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. This is the Christian experience as it is so designed for the believer priest to serve God in regards to his Christian life. This puts God the Holy Spirit in his rightful place of rulership over the real you. That is through his filling ministry. And in this capacity, our STA is put aside, so to speak. We're told to put off the old man, put on the new man. This requires a rebound technique, the old man being the STA. The new man obviously looks at the human spirit that operates in tandem with God the Holy Spirit in the capacity at hand. And in this way, then, we are able to take in the truth of Bible doctrine, to assimilate it, undistorted by the sin nature, and advance ourselves in our thinking as we seek to apply God's Word for our lives in regards to our Christian lives and action with honor. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for your many grace and mercies. Thank you for yet another opportunity to study the truth of your word. Bless us so that we can be truly workmen, not to be ashamed at the bema, that we glorify you and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this capacity, and that we take these things and use it for our own spiritual matriculation and fulfillment of your word for our lives. All this via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Here to finish off chapter 44. In the appeal that Judah makes to Joseph, whom at this point in time still does not know who Joseph is, he just sees him as a high Egyptian ruler, most powerful man in the land next to Pharaoh. And in the appeal, which he is prompted to engage in spite of the ruler telling him to pack up with his brothers and leave and go home, that Benjamin is staying behind, he recognizes a higher priority involved in regards to his life, and that was the promise he gave to his father Jacob, that he would take responsibility for Benjamin and ensure his return back with him. And so this gives him his motivation, and he girds his loins with courage to face this ruler with this appeal. And in the appeal, he gives information, makes very informative to Joseph certain aspects that Joseph was not aware of and had yet come to any true understanding or agreement in regards to the situation at hand, not the least of which, that there is a quality of virtue that is possessed by his brothers at this point in time in their history, that was completely foreign to him in his relationship with them growing up in general, and as it obviously culminated in their kidnapping him and selling him off into slavery some 22 years ago. And that is obviously finds its apex in the expression that Judah has for the love of Jacob as well as Benjamin, of which he validates in regards to the words which he speaks with his offer to transplant himself or sacrifice his own happiness to stay in the place of Benjamin so Benjamin can return back home otherwise. And that's verses 33 and 34. Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad, a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. Verse 34, for how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest I see the evil that would overtake my father? As he's made clear, the bond between Benjamin and Jacob is inseparable, if you will. Jacob sold. He's 130 years old, basically, at this time. And he is truly convinced that his father will die of grief, as Jacob so stated he would to them earlier in their conversations, if he did not return back with Benjamin. And obviously, whatever Joseph might have thought initially in regards to the brothers and their appeal to their father and his condition otherwise, as they made clear on the first trip, and there seemed to be a very sense of distrust by Joseph, as he says, you're not going to do business here ever again or get any more food if you don't bring Benjamin back otherwise. Obviously, a transformation takes place in Joseph's thoughts through this very appeal and now this sacrifice that Judah makes. And the last five points here, page 30 of our notes, 21, to Joseph, the speech reveals more than the speaker intended. Again, Judah does not know the identity of this vizier. And that is, as we saw in the appeal, the official version of his own death, as Judah made clear that his father thought Joseph to be torn to pieces, in parentheses there, by wild animals, which was the ploy, device, bloodying the tunic that the brothers hoped to be successful with in explaining his absence when they returned after the kidnapping. Also, the reason for the delay in the brothers' return, and that was based on Jacob's procrastination, stubbornness, and not letting Benjamin go back, and again until Judah took center stage and took charge of the situation and convinced Jacob otherwise. And then the pain, finally, the Jacob's testing, as well as what Joseph's ordeal brought upon his father, that in his absence, his father grieved exceedingly in regards to his death. And that obviously he has transplanted Benjamin, Jacob, in the place of Joseph in his absence, in his affection and love and bond in regards to the household. So these are things that Joseph now becomes privy to that initially he was not aware of. And the most important thing, though, is obviously this quality and change in his brothers that he was not previously familiar with. And that's point 22. More importantly, the transformation from subnormal to exceptional solidarity in his brothers manifested nothing short of a drastic change in all their lives. Whereas they more or less operated for their own to take advantage of situations as they were so driven that in a fairly hostile and aggressive behavioral types of males that they were. Simeon and Levi ordeal showed that, and all the brothers in their participation. And then the whole thing with Joseph basically dismissing or stiff-arming with Judah. With Joseph, and basically stiff-arming Joseph, disregard of their father in honor and respect to him in regards to all this. And now you just see this solidarity of affection that comes from them as all of them stay in group in spite of the fact they had opportunity to leave upon Benjamin's arrest earlier, but refused to do so. And they are there putting themselves in the potential position for something worse to happen to them on behalf of their brother Benjamin, and then obviously on behalf of their father in love to him. So they show an affection that obviously looks at a very different type of individuals than previously recorded for us earlier on here in Genesis. So 23, that the sons of the unloved wife, that was Leah, remember back then, Rachel was the gem in his eye that he was after, pursuing in that regards, and the trick of Laban, his uncle, in swapping the women in the consummating honeymoon suite in this regards, obviously Leah was treated as a second class wife by Jacob, and then all the sons, and then from her handmaiden, as well as the other Rachels, they obviously would have had impact, felt the impact in regards to this disassociation by Jacob to Leah in this regards, so that the sons of the unloved wife, Leah, should have come to terms with the father's attachment to Rachel, whom he called my wife in verse 27. And her children is itself amazing. So here is quite a hurdle on a certain aspect of it. While you don't excuse what is wrong to be wrong, you can understand why the brothers might have had such and less and sterling affection for a father that otherwise was partial in regards to his sons, in regard to his wife, and they felt, if you will, less than the impartial love that he was given otherwise unconditionally to Benjamin, to Joseph, then to Benjamin, and to his wife Rachel, and to see their mother obviously disregarded in such a deal. They've overcome that. You know, people think that maybe there are certain things in life that you just can't overcome and forgive for in regards to things. Well, here you, and we'll all, people will find examples of the famous people that have otherwise overcome in their lives. Here you have an example of these brothers. And this obviously points to the fact that somehow, in some way, they've definitely gapped some doctrine in their life over this past 22 years and have made a significant spiritual advance. They end up recognizing what's important in life. And they see, in regards to their father, Jacob, truly the importance of his soul, no matter what his STA might have been otherwise in that respect. So it's quite an amazing turnaround in regards to their posture and how they looked at the whole familial situation with their father and their relationship with him. And then 24, but that Judas should cite the father's favoritism as a ground for self-sacrifice is irresistible proof of a high-caliber devotion. On top of it all, now Judah, with his offer to stay in place of Benjamin, to sacrifice his own happiness, that application, that work on his behalf, is enough, as we will see, to basically just melt the icy heart of Joseph under his STA otherwise. And that is, as we know, as we reviewed in regards to love, examples the highest kind of love, and that service and sacrifice to others on their behalf, in spite of how the situation may be otherwise, in spite of even someone who may be an enemy to you, and the opportunity of applying Bible doctrine in their direction. So 25, this is what breaks down Joseph's defenses. And to have that fresh in our thinking, then we can now appreciate the opening of chapter 45, where Jacob, in verses 1 through 4, breaks down and then identifies himself to his brothers. So, changing out notes here. Looking at the Hebrew here, verses 1 through 4. Verse 1, then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried, have everyone go out from me. You have the wow conjunction, followed with the negative particle lo. Then the cal perfect lo. And the cal perfect third matching singular verb, to be able, the ability, yakal, yakal. He was not able. Could not, translated. Joseph is the proper noun, the subject of the verb, of not having the ability. To control, you have here the preposition lamed with the hithpael verb, which is reflexive, infinitive, construct, aphan, aphan. It literally means to hold or be strong. Hence the inability to be strong in this context loses control, is the idea. So to control, restrain himself. We saw this back in 43:31, where in that context, after he sees Benjamin, he broke down in a private fashion, apart from anybody seeing him, emotionally weeping, and then he gained control. He got control of himself there. Here he loses control. So the two times we see this verb used, we see it in contrasting ways. He could not control, restrain himself, followed with the preposition lamed, and the noun, common masculine, singular, absolute, kol, before all, K-O-L. Those who stood is your definite article with the nifal, participle, masculine, plural, absolute, not sav, N-A-T-S-A-V. All of his servants, his staff in waiting, in service to him, the ones standing literally, those who stood by him or around him is your preposition with the third masculine singular suffix all, A-L. And he cried or called out. So wow, consecutive, cal, perfect third masculine singular verb, kara, Q-A-R-A. Have everyone go out from me is the hifil imperative. Hifil being causative, masculine plural, yatsa is the verb, Y-A-T-S-A. You all cause to go out. Everyone is the common masculine singular now construct coal, follow with the KOL, follow with the common master singer absolute noun, our word for man, ish. Each for every man, ish. From me is the preposition men, followed with the preposition all with the first common singular suffix, al, away from around me, literally in the prepositions in the Hebrew. Away from around me, as they obviously encircled him in waiting upon him. And so we're informed here by the author, so there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. You have the wow conjunction, negative particle lo, repeated here in this verse, lo, followed with the cal perfect third masculine singular verb amad, A-M-A-D, literally so none remained. Follow with our noun for man again, ish, common masculine singular absolute, a man. With him is the preposition F-E-T-H with the third masculine singular suffix. When he made himself known to his brothers, when he made himself known is the preposition bet, followed with the hith pile, again, reflexive, infinitive, construct, our verb yada, y-a-d-a, Joseph, proper noun, to his brothers, preposition l-e-l, in their presence, is the idea, followed with our noun for brother, a-c-h, common masculine plural, construct, third masculine singular suffix, his brothers. Verse 2. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard, supplied for us of it, which they do capture the idea here. You had the wow consecutive with the cal imperfect third masculine singular verb to give, nathan, followed with the sign of direct object, and the common masculine singular noun construct with the third masculine singular suffix, our word for voice, coal. Then you have the preposition bet, and then our noun, common masculine singular absolute, beki, to weep, B-E-K-I-Y, literally the Hebrew, and he gave to his voice with or by weeping. Hence, he was, we would say, wailing, translated, wept so loudly, weeping loudly. He cranked up the decibels as high as they go in regards to his voice. That the Egyptians heard it, he had a wow consecutive, then our verb to hear, shema, S-H-A-M-A, cal imperfect third masculine plural, so they heard, the Egyptians, proper noun, and wow consecutive, and verb to hear again, shema, repeated, cal imperfect third masculine singular on this one, and it was heard, denoting the news of what the Egyptians heard there in the residence. And it was heard in the household of Pharaoh. Common masculine singular construct, bayith, in the household, B-A-Y-I-T-H, of Pharaoh. Hence the English translation, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it, captures the Hebrew and its intent. So, verse 3. Then Joseph said to his brothers, so now he reveals his identity, I am Joseph, is my father still alive? He had the wow consecutive, our verb to say, cal imperfect third masculine singular, Amar, A-M-A-R, proper noun, Joseph, to to his brothers, preposition L, E-L, noun for brothers, common masculine plural, construct third masculine singular, suffix ock. I am Joseph is the simply the pronoun, the Hebrew pronoun, first common singular, ani, followed with the proper noun, Joseph, A-N-I-Y, I myself, Joseph. You supply the to-be verb am, I am Joseph. And then the question, is my father still alive? You had the interrogative particle ha, H-A, followed with the adverb od, still or yet, O-D. Father is your common masculine singular construct, first common singular suffix of, A-B. Alive or living is the adjective masculine singular absolute K, C-H-A-Y. But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Vowel conjunction, negative particle lo, L-O. Then our verb to be able, again, yakal, saw in the previous verse, Y-A-K-A-L, cal perfect third masculine plural. But they were not able here. His brothers, common masculine plural constructor, masculine singular suffix, ach, A-C-H, to answer or respond. Preposition lamed with the cal infinity verb construct, ana, A-N-A-H. Respond to him is the sign of direct object here, having the third masculine singular suffix, F, Y, for or because, conjunction key, K-I-Y. They were dismayed. That verb is the nifal form, perfect third common plural, Bahal, B-A-H-A-L. Literally, this word means alarmed, terrified, or troubled. It has that nuance attached to it. We might say they were in shock. They were shocked, translated dismayed, at his presence. And you can imagine all this culminating after we've been in detail in regards to following their psyche throughout this and their emotions, their mysticism, why they think all this is happening to them, and God playing all these mean tricks on them and setting up the stage on them and all this, and now all this. What a conclusion. At his presence, preposition men with the common both plural construct, third masculine singular suffix, are noun panea, literally means faces, hence his presence, P-A-N-E-H. Verse 4, then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer. While consecutive, to say, a verb, cal perfect third masculine singular, amar, proper noun, Joseph, A-M-A-R, to his brothers, preposition L, same construction, E-L, brothers, ach, A-C-H, common masculine plural construct, third masculine singular suffix, come closer is your cal imperative masculine plural or verb nagash, N-A-G-A-S-H, to draw near, hence approach. Please is your interjectory particle na. Now at this time is the idea. Obviously, he would have done it in a palatable way. Hence, please is fine. N-A, to me, preposition L, first common singular suffix, E-L. And they came closer while consecutive, then nagash, our verb, repeated verb, cal perfect third masculine plural, N-A-G-A-S-H. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. While consecutive, followed with verb amar, A-M-A-R. Calum perfect third masculine singular. I myself, Joseph, again, same construct as earlier. The first common singular pronoun, ani, A-N-I-Y. Proper noun, Joseph. Your brother, ach, A-C-H. Common masculine singular construct, second masculine plural suffix here. Whom is your relative pronoun, asher, S-H-E-R, to sell. You all sold, cal, perfect second masculine plural, our verb makar, M-A-K-A-R. Me is sign of direct object to know what they sold. First common singular suffix, eth, Egypt, proper noun. All right, rereading here the verses. Then Joseph could not restrain himself, control himself, before all those who stood by him. And he cried, everyone go out from me. Cause everyone to go out from me. So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. So they are sequestered by themselves. And immediately after that, verse 2, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Verse 3, then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him or respond to him, for they were shocked. In shock at his presence, that they were dismayed, is the translation. Verse 4, then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer or draw near to me. And they came closer. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. All right, the analysis of verses 1 through 4. One, the climax of Judah's appeal in chapter 44, Genesis 44, was his willingness to trade himself for Benjamin, validating an unconditional love for his father, an unwillingness to see evil befall him. That's how the appeal ended. And that obviously was the climax, the apex of the force of the appeal, as is so intended. That was verses 33 and 34. Two, he represented a side to Joseph's brothers, absent in their familial relationship some 22 years ago. Three, their solidarity of love for Jacob, even in light of his partial love for Benjamin, the partiality shown, has usurped their previous SCA derision, prompting familial conflict. Recognizing the biblical definition of love as it pertains to fulfillment of the law in a singular expression. It is love that usurps now their STA that drove them in regards to conflict with the family previously. Their spite, their contempt, they were minus love in that condition. True biblical love, whatever feelings they might have had otherwise. It is a simplified way to look at it, but it is true nevertheless that when you're running under your SCA, no matter your lip service otherwise, you are not providing the evidence of true love in regards to relationships which you may be targeting with your SCA in that condition. So they were obviously minus love, and we would say especially divine love, earlier on in their relationship with their father, and obviously as it was with Joseph. They've overcome that. They have done a turnaround, and this all suggests pretty strongly to me that they ultimately came to grips in regards to their sin in their life. They gapped the truth of doctrine and the importance of doctrine and positive volition with respect to their history and respect to their relationship, especially their familial relationship, and have grown themselves to a degree that now they are at least showing the proper doctrinal respect and courtesy of love and affection in regards to their authority in life as well as their sibling in this respect. And out of that, as I at least hinted to in our notes, Joseph, I believe, was picking out bits and pieces along the way that was having impact in regards to his thinking through their confession that he saw in them some remorse in regards to what they'd done to him and things of this nature. So, obviously, the scenario is not just black and white, just a turn on, turn off emotions in regards to this. This comes about through the process that we have endured going over in detail so that we can see that what we have recorded for us in the Old Testament in terms of historic situations such as this are real people living in time, having their own real experiences of being believers. Those who are maladjusted versus those who are adjusted, and the contrast paradox of positive volition being maladjusted certain parts of their life otherwise. These are not just bedtime stories, Sunday school stories designed to read to your children. These are real life people, real life events. And they go through the same kind of processes that we go through today some 3,000 years later in regards to the as we would say, Christian struggle and the emotions, STA interferences, and things of this nature, and otherwise growing up spiritually by being on positive volition. So for Joseph concludes here that both remorse and regret from what their actions toward him previously caused upon their father has led them to repentance in God's eyes. Again, that was one of the key verses in the appeal, I believe. That Joseph, being the astute, quick person that he was, started picking up on, especially, that there really was a change that had occurred in regards to his brothers spiritually. And that was in their confession in verse 16, as Judah first comes in, or their first appeal in regards to Joseph proclaiming condemnation and verdict upon them of no contest. As Judah said, "What can we say to my Lord? What can we speak? And how can we justify ourselves?" And then the clause, "God has found out the iniquity of your servants." He is confessing contextually in the legal setting an accusation that is not true. He is confessing a guilt. No, it's not that guilt as we went through it. They are putting in their own minds two and two together. And that is, if you will, a rebound confession on behalf of the brotherhood that was made by Judah. Joseph knows they're not guilty. Oh, what the heck is Judah confessing here? That God has made it, has found our iniquity, has found our sin. And obviously, the superficial approach, well, he's just referring to the silver cup. No, he's not. That's a kangaroo court they're in. The cup was planted on them. Joseph knows it. So, these little things obviously truly opens the doors and gives us more of an expansive understanding and appreciation for what's going on. So, he concludes, Joseph, in the appeal, concludes that both remorse and regret from what their actions toward him previously caused upon their father has led them to repentance in God's eyes, that they've dealt with it spiritually. So five, this realization becomes emotionally overwhelming. And then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. Wow, lo, you call Joseph Lamed Afan, Lamed Kol Ha Nasab Ah. That's verse 1a. The subtlety of this highlights the fact that what Joseph wanted most for his brothers is not necessarily the love and affection for him, but to become spiritually adjusted, to come to grips and overrule their STA so that then they could have true love and affection for Jacob, his father, Benjamin, and himself. And when he recognizes that they've made this adjustment spiritually in their lives, and what it has now produced for them, for that positive believer, that's more than his emotions could handle. That's why he breaks down. See, the Sunday school fundies, well, you know, Joseph's just so glad to see his brothers now. Now, he's seen them. Truly, the Laodicean period is nothing more, generally speaking, in denominationalism than a lukewarm approach regards to truly trying to understand Bible doctrine and God's plan for men's lives. It's the spiritual realities that Joseph sees that has impacted his brothers that now has turned them around and made them into the men that they are, of applying divine love, etc., that truly grabs him. And then, obviously, not to dismiss the other parts of it, but that ignites his emotions. And that's when he starts losing control. So, six, Joseph reappears here now as the kind of believer that the reader has come to expect. That is, a positive, adjusted believer, willing to overrule his STA, willing to forgive. These stories for the grace-oriented individual are truly a source of edification and encouragement in regards to our own Christian lives. That we all have our weaknesses. As James says, we all stumble in many ways. But the positive, adjusted believer ultimately gets a grip on it. And Joseph is the highest caliber of believer that we have truly recorded so far, even among the patriarch circles, not to, again, diminish Abraham and Isaac and what they were spiritually. But in his example, up to the point where he does get under his STA, was an exemplary believer in that regards, but even he was weak. And the sense of revenge, vindictiveness, etc., creeps into his life. And a lot of it, obviously, is in a mixture of 22 years of wondering, where are they at now, and what they did to him. He can't dismiss that. He may forgive, and we say forgive and forget. You don't forget things. Come on, be real. Things bad happen. You do remember them, but you can forgive. And in the sense that you forgive, according to Bible doctrine, you put it aside, and you don't let that to constantly ride you and torment you in regards to reliving your past. So the forget has the nuance that you don't hold a grudge. You dismiss it as that which is going to rule your life otherwise, as you forgive. Did Jesus forget what happened on the cross? Well, I think with his marks on his hands and his feet for all eternity in his resurrection body, that's going to be quite difficult to do. So, you know, to clear the air in areas that is somewhat hazy sometimes, as you see in people, forgive and forget. What do you mean, forget? Yeah, we say water under a bridge, but things still hang with you. But with doctrine, one can overcome these things. And you don't have to let your SCA rule as you continue to forgive. Forgiving isn't just necessarily a one-time proposition either. As disciples questioned Jesus on it, he made very clear in his teaching in regards to forgiving, why we forgive like seven times, Jesus? No, I say seven times 70. You know, continue on, especially those who repent or change their minds in regards to their action towards you. So, Joseph now, he loses control on one end, but gains control on the other. He loses control emotionally, but spiritually, now he is in control. No more of the revenge tactics that he's otherwise being put on these guys. So seven, in essence, he embraces the doctrine of love as demonstrated by Judah and now applies it for himself. That is one of those aspects of love that we looked at to motivate ourselves in love, the impact of your applications towards others. Now we see the impact of Judah's application of expressing the love as it has on Joseph and helping him overrule his STA. That's some cool stuff, man. Doctrine really does work. Well, how are you going to act? So, Joseph embraces the doctrine of love, verse point 7, as demonstrated by Judah, and now applies it for himself. They overcome their STAs. Now Joseph overcomes his STA. Is the idea. 8, all those who stood by him, in quotes, that phrase is reference to his Egyptian staff and servants, apart from the cadre of his brothers. They obviously remain. So 9, his ability to even try to regain composure, as he previously was successful in chapter 43, verse 31, that we read, the same verb, upon control, now completely eludes him. He sees, there's no way I'm going to be able to stop this emotional rush. It completely eludes him, no matter how hard he tries. 10, recognizing the inevitable, he immediately orders, quote, have everyone go out from me. the Hebrew Yasal Kol Ish Min Al, verse 1b. Eleven, with the rush of emotions upon him, knowing that he can no longer keep up his charade, he clears the room, leaving only himself with his brothers. Twelve, the author then records that it was in this sequestered setting that, quote, there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. The words, have everyone go out from me, was the words of Joseph. The final part of verse 1 is an insert by our author. Lo amad ish eth bet yada Joseph el ak. 13, he determines, Joseph being the subject here, that the revelation of his identity is a private affair, and really no one would otherwise appreciate all that would come from it other than those present. It is an intimate, private situation. We can draw for that the principle, some things in life should be kept confidential and limited to only those that are directly involved having the doctrinal appreciation. Those among the staff, etc., they're not going to really appreciate what's going on here. Plus, this is very private between he and his brothers, nobody else. Now, there are those out there that seem they think they got to make everything public. Air their dirty laundry and all other kinds of things. Learn a little discernment. Joseph shows discernment. Get everybody out of here. Now. Because he has a situation that is to be reserved simply for him and his brothers. All right, let's take our break.